Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Use me as a vessel. Go beyond me. Go beyond my heart, my physical body, oh God, and speak through me as a vessel. Speak into people's lives. Lord, that we would know that you want us to make a difference in our lives, that there is a purpose for our existence, and that purpose can be found in Jesus. Help that to become a reality today, we pray. And Lord, minister to people and confirm your word to them and to us, God, in ways that completely go beyond anything we've ever seen or heard or imagined. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You can take your seats. And as you do, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. We're going to be reading 12 verses. And we're still on the Spacious Place series. And today's message is entitled, Being a Difference Maker. Being a Difference Maker. Mark chapter 2 from verse 1. And this is about Jesus. And it starts off like this. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived, carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Imagine that. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what's he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. That's heavy, huh? I believe that God is looking for difference makers. Who wants to live a life that makes a difference? Let me see your hands. Amen. Turn around and look at your neighbor and ask them this question. Are you mad? Some of you got a wild look back like, yeah. But you got to understand that those letters, M-A-D, literally mean making a difference. How many of you know we need to be mad for Jesus and we need to make a difference in the world that we live in? I want to be a difference maker. I want this church to be like that. That's why we're talking about the spacious place. The reason why we're talking about the spacious place so much is that we want people to catch this principle. Why have we got to make space in our lives and our families and our church for Jesus? I mean, if you know. The reason why is because his presence, his love, his influence, and his power are so big that we need to continually be making room for him. See, I don't know whether you understand this or not, but Jesus never gets smaller or weaker. What happens is we just settle for what we know of him, and then our knowledge of him and our experience of him stops. That's why people kind of fall away from the Lord. They start off well. They have an experience with God. They start to know him through his word. And things are great. And it becomes, you know, better and better and better. Because we go from glory to glory to glory. But then what happens is people, they kind of get to a place where their knowledge of him stops. Their experience of him stops. And then everything starts to just get grey and dull and boring. Some of you might be in that place right now. You've stopped making room for God and you're existing on what you knew. And you're existing upon what you had. But Jesus is so much more than that. Can someone say amen? See, the fact is that when the gospel message is being preached and the motive for our ministry is the same as Jesus' motive, that's to reach people. It's not just to feel better, it's to reach people. It's to see them saved. And it's to not only to see them saved and forgiven, but that they grow and continue. You know, you get delivered. How many of you have been delivered in the house? Delivered of something, whatever it is. You've been delivered of yourself, some people. Come on now. Delivered of sin, of negativity, of madness, of chaotic lifestyles, right? Why are we delivered? We're delivered so that we can become deliverers. Who do you think God uses? He uses us to make a difference in the world. See, when that gospel message is being preached, people are going to come and spiritual growth is going to begin. Verse 2 of what we read says, soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. How many of you are looking forward to that? Huh? You know, I've been around some churches, and I'll tell you, not every Christian looks forward to that. They don't want to come in and the house is packed. They don't want to queue up outside the door. They don't want to wait in line to get into the house of the Lord. They want to come in and have a little bit of space in there, a little bit of room where they can sit down in comfort and not have to go for any drama. That's nice. We would love a place that is spacious enough to do that, but what about if Jesus decides to do something and so many people start coming that there ain't enough room? What about if you have to give up your seat for someone who needs to get saved on a Sunday? A lot of Christians come from Sunday to Sunday and then they come in on Sunday desperate for God to touch them because they haven't met with him any other time during the week. That's a sad state of affairs. Amen. I want to come into church so filled with Jesus. See, it's not about us just filling the church with people. It's about the people in the church getting filled with Jesus. That's what we're on about. Then you're going to come to church and you're going to be so filled with Jesus anyway that you will make room for someone that don't know him yet. I don't mind sitting on the floor. I don't mind standing out in the cold if the person that I brought is inside sitting on a chair in that place getting saved. Imagine that. And that's what happens when Jesus is in the house. See, when Jesus is in a place, attendance literally goes through the roof. Faith goes through the roof. Forgiveness becomes not just an abstract need. How many of you know everyone needs forgiveness? Unless you're a psychopath, amen, with no feeling and no emotion and you're just evil, everyone needs forgiveness. It's a built-in thing within us that we need to know that God loves us and that we're right with him. But forgiveness becomes not just an abstract need when Jesus is in the house. It becomes a powerful reality. How many of you can remember being forgiven? Come on now, let me see your hands. Let's have a bit of activity in the house. How many of you know that once you were lost and then you got saved? How many of you can remember being blind and then you see? How many of you were dead and now you're alive? See, there's a felt need, but then there's a powerful reality that comes when Jesus is in the house. Amen? And the evidence of all these factors is in the amazing testimonies of transformed lives. That my life has changed. My mind has changed. My view has changed. Amen? But we have to desire and make time for his presence. I once asked the Lord, growing up, you know, we never really had much as pastors growing up in the Lord. We didn't have people throwing money at us and coming and helping us. Me and Vicky just kind of bumbled through and tried to make it happen. And, you know, no one ever came. No one ever sent anyone. No one ever helped us out, really. We just had to hang on to everything we got. We were like dogs under the table looking for scraps. Come on now. You know, a little sausage or a little bit of meat or a bit of chicken falling off and we'd gobble it up and then we'd come back and we'd go to conferences and we'd go there and we'd just go there and show up and we'd listen and we'd watch and we'd gobble up a little morsel and then we'd bring it back and we'd tell people what we ate. Come on now. But I believe that God wanted to do something because he's a big God. So if you're going to have faith, have big faith. Don't just have faith for a little thing. If you serve a big God, you might as well have big faith. Come on now. So I always believe God wanted to build his church and, you know, he wanted to grow. And so one day I remember this was very clear. I went to him and I said, Lord, I was praying. I said, Lord, I said, what have I got to do to get more people to come to the church? Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, I don't want you to build a church that attracts people. He said, I want you to build a church that attracts me. What about the people? Listen, if I'm in the house, they're going to come. And they're going to come for the right reason, not just to get entertained, jump up and down and tick a little religious box, not just for a social event or to pass their business cards around or, you know, for their wives to think that they're doing well or their husbands to think that they're doing well, but they're going to come for me. They're going to come for the right stuff. Come on now. So that straight away started to influence the way that I would pastor and the way that I would lead and the expectations that I would have. But how do you get Jesus to come to your place and stay at your place? How? I believe there's three things. Jesus comes and he stays where he's wanted. Come on now. He comes where he's wanted. How many times did he, you know, did he shake the dust off his feet and walk out of a place because he weren't wanted? Huh? He also comes where he's welcomed. There's a difference between wanting someone and welcoming someone. Amen. It's the difference of your attitude and the embrace. And then he comes where he's worshipped. So let's have a look at these three things real quick. Jesus comes and stays where he's wanted. Do you realize how great your need is for Jesus? Do you really? Do you realize? He's the only way that anyone can be saved. You know that, right? A lot of people say all roads lead to God. No, they don't. All roads lead to Jesus. Only Jesus leads to God. You can be a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu. You can be a Satanist. You can be a Jedi, whatever it is, whatever religion that you think you are. And your way is a good way. There are great aspects in some of these other religions, but I have to let you know right now, it is my conviction based upon the word of God that there is only one way to come to God, and that is through Jesus. He didn't say, I am one of the ways. He didn't say, I am one of the truths. He didn't say you can live a life that is good with God outside of me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what makes him unique. No one else has ever made that claim, but Jesus did. He's the only way that anyone could be saved and get access to the true life-giving presence of God. Without his sacrifice on the cross, we would all die in our sins and we would all be doomed to an eternity in the lake of fire. And God didn't create that for us. He created it for the devil and his angels. So God doesn't want humanity to go into the lake of fire. Humanity decides to go into the lake of fire. Are you with me? When they refuse to come to him. That ain't good. I don't know about you. That's not a place I want to go. So do you want him? If you do want him, watch this. It's because the Father is drawing you to him. Some people say, am I saved? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Well, you couldn't believe unless Christ, unless the Father started drawing you to his Son by his Spirit. John 6:44 says, for no one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. Then on the last day, I will raise them up. Come on now. That's by his grace. He draws you by his grace. He's already working it out. He's already doing it. He's already putting plans in place, putting people in place, putting you in the right place. That's his grace. And his grace enables this thing to happen. You cannot, it is impossible that anyone can get saved or want to be saved in and of their own desire. No one does. Just go out in the street right now and go out and say, do you want to be saved? To a random stranger. They're probably saying, well, shut up, you lunatic. Not really. I've got something to do. I'm off. Are you with me? But someone who's being graced by God. Are you catching it? Are you following me? It's the grace of God. So if you want Jesus, It's because God is enabling you and empowering you and wooing you and giving you the ability to know him through his grace. God gives people the opportunity to believe in him, and when they believe, they are saved. It's heavy, huh? It's very simple. How many of you thank God it's so simple we'll get saved? Huh? You don't have to crawl over broken glass. You don't have to beat yourself with whips. You don't even need to pray 5 times a day or 7 times a day or 10 times a day. You don't need to give everything up. You don't need to give your money to the poor and become a monk in the desert. You don't have to shave your head. You don't have to eat weird things. You don't have to do that. All you need to do is just believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. He does what he says he does, and that you're messed up without him, and but that with him, that everything's going to be cool. That's salvation, man. It's heavy, huh? The simplicity of it. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he started preaching, Holy Spirit come, you know the coup in Acts chapter 2. In verses 37 and 38, it says this, it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. This is the people. Imagine being one of them people there that day. Peter gets up, starts preaching. It says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. Because how many of you know there's two types of heart, right? There's the heart of sponge and there's the heart of stone. And sponge in itself, when it is dry, is hard. Stone is hard. The difference is that when the water comes on the sponge, it gets soft. When the water goes on the stone, it don't enter in and nothing happens. Amen. Grace makes your heart spongy. Look at someone and say, have you got a spongy heart? Huh? Peter's words pierced their heart, and they said to him and the other apostles, watch this, brothers, what must we do? Check that out. Last week when they were doing Code Red, some of the prostitutes apparently were coming up to people saying, what have I got to do to be saved? I remember preaching a revival in Scotland once, and we borrowed this church, 500-seater church right in the middle of Glasgow. It was filled with junkies, right? Literally. We went out there, we'd done a week's worth of evangelism. Everyone came in, all the bedraggled, messed up, you know, all crooked and mangled, drug addicts scratching and looking like, you know, something off of a zombie film. Serious. And they came in, rolling up roll-ups and sniffing and scratching and sleeping and doing all sorts of stuff. Hundreds of them. So I have to get up and preach. I mean, it's hard enough preaching to you and you're saved. Amen. They weren't saved, you know, and they were making more noise than some of you do. Which is good, because some of them look like they're dying right there. And then one of them would move, and I'd go, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'd lay hands on them, but I don't have to give them CPR. Amen. So I'm preaching, and I'm preaching, and I'm trying everything. I'm trying humor. They're looking at me like, shut up, you English lunatic. These are Scots, right? Yeah. I can't even understand what they were saying. They were scratching, snipping, talking, doing this, passing drugs, doing that. So I'm preaching, and I'm preaching, I'm doing everything. I'm trying humor. I think I even tried to sing, I tried to dance. I was shouting, screaming, sweating, spitting, doing everything I know. And in the end, I'm preaching about the man at the pool of Bethesda that had been crippled and disabled for 38 years, right? And I'm trying everything, and then nothing. It's like nothing's happening. And in the end, I get frustrated. And I jump down off the platform. And it gets to the bit where Jesus says to the man, do you want to be made well? And I jumped off the platform. Imagine it. 500 junkies. I said, hey. I said, do you want to be made well? I said, 38 years this man's been in his condition. How long have you been a junkie? Do you want to be made well? And they all went. Phew. One of them got up and went, who let me hear this man? I said, what? Literally like that. I was shocked. Well, what we got to do then? What we got to do then? Hey, what we got to do then? I was taken aback. I wasn't expecting that. I said, what you got to do is you got to repent and believe in Jesus and then you'll be saved. I said, and by the way, if you want that, if you've got drugs on you, cigarettes and all that, give them up right now. Check that out. No junkie's going to give up his drugs. They got up And they came to the altar, and there was enough drugs on there to finance the next 10 years of our ministry. If we were that way inclined, which we're not, they're the sort of offerings we don't take. Amen. We don't take payment in kind like that, praise the Lord. We just get rid of it and we throw it all down the toilet. But there were cigarettes, there were pills, there were things I've never even known, and I've tasted everything in the world. There were drugs and pills and potions. And then we started to pray and they started to receive Jesus. And we were praying for, check this out. They were praying, they were weeping. They were broken. And then we were praying for them. Let me pray for you. We were going to pray that God breaks your addiction. And we were laying hands on them and they were going boom, 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 boom. All falling over, hitting the deck, crying. And listen, these were junkies. They weren't making courtesy drops. You know, like some Christians that want to be spiritual when they go to a conference and a man of God comes and goes, and they go, make sure there's an usher behind them. And then they fall out. These people weren't falling backwards like, catch me, catch me, catch me, catch me. They were going crash, hitting their heads. Chairs were going everywhere. Come on now. Because the Spirit of God, Jesus was in the house. Because Jesus wants to be where people want him. So if you want Jesus, went the wrong way there. It's all very crowded over there, man. It's like all the worship team, just all the musicians just crowd together. Huh? And their little music little thing. Yeah, break out of that, man. Huh? Come on now. We're in a spacious place. Sometimes think the musicians think you're a breed apart or something. Let's just be over here doing a little. Get out of it, man. Come on. I want to see Damien up here getting down, man. He's cramped over there. His style gets cramped. I want to see him drumming up and down. I want to see Damien playing the guitar with his teeth. Do you want Jesus? These people wanted Jesus. They said, what have we got to do? But you know what stops people from this? Some people think repentance just simply means giving stuff up. And they struggle with the size of the task before them. Because let's face it, you know, some of us have a few bad habits. Well, a few bad attitudes. Huh? Come on now. Some of you got a little bad attitude going on. You think, I've got to give up my anger. I've got to give up my right to be right. Hello? Huh? We have all these attitudes that we have to give up. Come on now. What about our addictions? Woo. Wearing this porn scars, this ain't for just perverts. It's not like a load of perverts are going to turn up in anoraks and all that, going, oh, sitting there going, oh, we want to watch this. We did this at a men's conference. Watch this. Watch this. This is weird. We did this at a men's conference. I was speaking at a men's conference, and we said, right, and in the main sanctuary now, there's breakout rooms. In the main sanctuary, we're going to have the porn scars video, right? And so it was packed. And then all of a sudden, they put the video up, and they were talking about the weirdness of addiction, the badness of it, the madness. And some of the buds got up and walked out. And afterwards, I got the mic. I said, wow, look at that. I said, they probably thought they was going to be watching a porn video. But all of a sudden, when that didn't show up, they all got up and walked out and went somewhere else. I said, how weird is that? Amen. They thought when we talked about that we're going to show a video on porn, they probably thought it was something else. And when it was against porn, they all got up and walked out. How weird is that? But this porn scars thing, it ain't just for perverts, it's for people that want to know how to deal with this thing, how to look at this thing, how to help someone out. So in fact, it's for everyone. We want this place packed next week, man. You guys need to come. How many of you are going to come? How many of you are going to come to this thing? Amen? Good. Some people think that repentance is just about giving stuff up. Huh? But repentance actually means to change your mind. It means to change your way of thinking about how you've been living without forgiveness, without the presence of God. It's a mentality shift that enables you to see the reality of your lack. And then your vision and your understanding become clear and you see Jesus for who he is and you believe and then you get saved. Because it ain't just about giving stuff up. It's about giving your life to Jesus. It's not just about a lifestyle change. It's about a life exchange. And all of a sudden, you know within yourself that something's been added. It's not about subtraction. That's religion. It's about addition. Jesus comes into your life before you give anything up. And then because he's so in you, all of a sudden you start having to give things up because there ain't no room for them in your life anymore. Because what Jesus wants to do is that he wants to come into your life and get rid of things that have no place in eternity. Funny thing is, people don't want to give up things to go to heaven that they can't take into hell anyway. Ooh. Come on now. You think they're going to be smoking in hell? Only all of your body in the fire. Huh? Then once you've had that exchange of life, it's nothing much to begin to do what he wants you to do. Because you trust that Jesus has everything you need to become the person that you were created to be. Repent and believe. So what do you want, man? I'll tell you what I want. I want Jesus to build his church. You know, it don't say in scripture that God wants to tear down his church. Huh? That's what God's enemies want to do. Huh? Always undermining, always speaking bad about each other, always doing this and doing that. Matthew 16:18, Jesus says this. He says, I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Watch this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God don't want to undermine, pull people down and mess about. He's big enough to be able to deal with things if they need dealing with. Come on now. God's church comprises people who stand on the God-given belief that Jesus is the only Savior. That rock of revelation and faith is what the church is built on. And no weapon can pull that down. Because it's the truth. Jesus is the only Savior. I tell you what I want this church to be, what I want it to look like and have the attitude of. I want it to be a place of spiritual reality, not just dead box ticking religion. Just show up on a Sunday, tick the box, show your attendance, and then go and live like the devil for the rest of the week. That's religion. Say a few, you know, prayers and cross yourself and do this and do that and wear a cross and, you know, on a Sunday, you're a Christian full-time on a Sunday, but the rest of the week, you just live your own way, live your own life, and don't care about Jesus. I want it to be a living, spiritual place of reality. I want it to be a place where the Bible is lived, not just read. Amen. Where you live the Word of God, where it becomes you. Come on now. Where you don't have to say thee, thou, thus, and thou, and quote Scripture. It just comes out of you. You start acting it. You start living it. You start becoming merciful. Come on now, you know what mercy is? Mercy ain't always an action. Sometimes mercy is inaction. You know, you got someone on the ropes and you could put the boot in and you don't. That's mercy. You know, when you could be right and you could win the argument, but in winning the argument, you'd lose the soul or you'd lose the friend or you'd break the relationship. So you don't win. Ooh, come on. Husbands and wives. Huh? Don't win. I learned ages ago in my relationship with my wife. Even when I'm right, which is most of the time, I'm sure of it in my heart. Even when I'm right, sometimes being right, I'd make myself wrong. Come on now. What's the point in winning an argument and losing bed space? What's the point in me being right and not having any cooked food? Huh? My argument is spotless, but my shirts are wrinkled. I'm just messing around. Huh? Praise the Lord. I want it to be a place where the Bible's read. I want it to be a place of family. Family, real family, where anyone can come and find someone to connect with. You know, family's blood, right? Sometimes you can't get rid of your family, even though you want to, right? You fight and you scratch and you spit and you do all that stuff. But we have the blood of Jesus that draws us together. We're a spiritual family. We're all sons and daughters of the one true and living God. Hallelujah. Princes and princesses. A family where anyone can come in. They can come in dragging their feet. They can come in dribbling or shuffling, licking windows, biting blankets, doing whatever they do. They can come in broken and messed up, addicted. They can come in on their high horse thinking they are this, that, and a bag of chips. It don't matter. We accept them. We adopt them. We bring them in. We love them. Come on now. Just like we were loved. Because ain't none of you came in all blessed up. Huh? Some of you are like, really? I thought I was all right when I come in. No. None of us were. We come in and God accepts us and he adopts us and he begins to do that work within us. I want this to be a place where opportunity is given. Come on now. For people to find who they are and what they've got. You know, if you've got a gift, we want to know about it. Amen. And we don't care what sex you are. Yeah, this is a pretty man kind of led church. And I'm cool with that. But that don't mean, sisters, that you ain't got an opportunity. That just means that we're trying to do things in the biblical order. But that don't mean men are better than women. It just means that men get blasted by God if anything goes wrong. We have a responsibility of headship and leadership. Amen. And that's just how it is. Read the Bible. Huh? But you still got opportunity. Women still preach. Come on now. Women still minister. Women can still get involved. You're not just sitting there knitting and doing different stuff. Come on now. Just looking good. There's opportunity. But if you don't take it, then you're just like a man that don't take it. There's plenty of opportunity. I want this to be a place of dignity where you can walk with your head held high. Come on now. A place of belonging where you can belong, and a place of destiny where you have a destiny in Christ. Amen. That's what I want. How about you? See, not only does he stay where he's wanted, he stays where he's welcomed. But let's have a quick look at this. Do you really welcome Jesus in your life? Because not everyone does, man. Because when Jesus comes, things change. Sometimes we think that Jesus is just going to come and leave everything the same and just make it better. But Jesus don't come to make the old things better. He comes to make the old things new. Huh? He calls this a stir. Come on now. Matthew 10:34, Jesus said, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. Ooh, people don't like reading that, huh? But you have to look at the context. Context is always key. Context is king. In this scripture, Jesus is speaking about the divisions that are going to come even among family members over their belief or their lack of belief about him. And in that respect, he's come to bring division. Amen. Between belief and unbelief. Those that follow him and those that don't. There is always going to be a tension between that. You're going to find that. Are you with me? And when you believe, it's like, oh yeah, man, we believe. But when you don't believe, everyone that believes is a lunatic. They're sad. It's a crutch. You poor, weak little Christian with your little dead God on a cross. Huh? Don't you know that everything's been proven evolutionarily? They come out with all these big words. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't really. You know, God speaks, man. God ministers, God moves, I believe. Don't mean that it's a crutch. Crutch is something you lean on when you're all crippled. But how many of you know Jesus said that he was the foundation? He's the cornerstone, man. He ain't a little crutch that you lean on, limp about the place. He's a foundation that you build upon. You build something strong. Come on now. A fortress for God. Hallelujah. Huh? The tension is this. When Jesus comes in, all our self-orientated understanding of peace goes out the window. And a new type of peace, real peace, comes in through the door. See, your carnal, unsaved understanding of peace is that everything stays the same, unchanged. I'll give us a bit of peace. All I want is a little bit of peace. I just want everything to be the same. I don't want there to be any change. I just want my reality just to become better. I'd like to be a millionaire sinner. I'd like to have more than enough money. Are you with me? And people want God to just come in and just amp up their own understanding of their reality. But God don't want to do that. He wants to come and make things new. Can someone say amen? Huh? Jesus comes to remove everything that will have no place in eternity and to change the people who will live with him in eternity. He wants to take away your, you know, you might have a boiler suit on. You ain't gonna imagine a spaceman jumps out of a spaceship on the moon with a boiler suit on, or a shell suit, or a really nice jumpsuit. Come on now. It might be your thing, man. You might like that, but you're gonna die real quick because it don't fit the atmosphere. And it's like some of the stuff that we're wearing right now, some of the attitudes, some of the expectations, some of the reality that we have, it can't exist in eternity. So God wants to give us a suit, equipment. He wants to take away some of that old stuff that gets in the way, and he wants to give us some stuff that is going to enable us to live with him forever. Check it out. I think that's a good deal. The challenge is that change and comfort are not best friends. Huh? But we need to understand that change comes whether we like it or not. The type of peace that the world around us offers is an illusion. It's just a slow fading away into nothingness, man. Don't mess with the status quo. This is what everyone else believes. You Christians are weird. You can't change. Once a junkie, always a junkie. You've always been messed up. Huh? You've had it now. You're never going to be able to change. You've messed up. You're impure. That's just the way things are. And they've always been like that, and they always will be like that. Right? They're the type of voices. Huh? But I say no to that. I say boo. Everyone say that. When that word comes and it says, don't worry about it, you can't, you say boo. Imagine that, saying that to the next person. I said that to someone once. They said, you're never going to change. I went, boo. I said, I am going to change. I'm changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Come on now. If I'd have settled for the world's way, I'd just be a junkie without a habit. I'd be on methadone or some other concoction, or I'd be dead, or I'd be in some institution for life. Where would you be? Probably be on a different path right now. Come on now. You'd be doing your little 9 to 5. You'd be in your 2 hots and a cot. You'd be living towards your retirement, waiting for the weekend. Come on now. Saving your money up for a Friday night or for a holiday in a year's time, that you get 2 weeks in the sun in a year's time. So you live for that, or you live for your retirement. But I mean, if you know, when you're 65 or 70, you ain't got the energy to do what you wanted to do when you were young. Anyway, huh? Just ticking the boxes, accumulating more acquaintances or more stuff. But when you welcome Jesus and he stays in your life as an honored guest, life might not always feel smooth, but it's always going to be right. Can someone say amen? And then lastly, he stays where he's worshipped. Here's a question for you. Is your worship authentic and accurate? Not everyone's was then, or not everyone's is now, man. Then Jesus had the scribes and he had the Pharisees who were forever making up their own rules about how things should be done. We have that now. Do this, do that on this day and that day, and say this and do this and do that. And if you don't do it, you're off key, you're weird. Are you with me? That's how it was done then. Now we've got the critics, the condemners. You know, when we was on the streets last week, there was some lunatic, unfortunately, who says he's a Christian, that was up there shouting and screaming and causing havoc, and the police had to come and take him away because he was just condemning everyone. Amen. He was just messing everything up. And then the police come. And we heard a siren, just like that. Huh? Praise the Lord. It's all that talking about the fire. Maybe the fire of God is in the house. Huh? The church is on fire. We don't need the devil because the devil is a liar. The church is on fire. We don't need the devil because the devil is a liar. See, even now we've got the critics, the condemners, we've got the crazies and the cop-outs. You got the people that just want to criticize everyone else. You don't believe what I believe. You got the condemners. Oh, if you don't believe these 5 points, then you're not even saved. We got the crazies. Oh, if you don't make tree shapes and bark like a dog, then you haven't really had a spiritual experience. And then we've got the cop-outs. Oh, you can just live whatever way you like because that's grace, isn't it? And you've got all these weirdos. People that give Christianity a bad name that are not really welcoming the real Jesus. Your worship. Is it authentic? Some people don't obey God's word, don't commit to his church, and don't submit to the people who God places in authority. Their worship is just words and feelings, but their motives are all wrong. Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Listen, we're not always perfect, but at least we don't think we are. Huh? This ain't the best church in the world. I just think it's a really, really good one. Amen. There's areas we need to grow. So let's grow. Let's don't excuse it. Let's do something about it. But let's not condemn other people, pull them down and keep them down. Are you with me? Because everyone's on their journey. Huh? But there was then and there are now the ones who care. You know, the ones who care about you, who care about God. The ones whose worship is not just words, but actions. The ones who actually do what Christ would do, who give someone a cup of water, who feed the naked, who visit those in prison, who bring the sick to Jesus. Huh? They care about God's word, they care about his church, and they care about the people that God puts there. These are the difference makers. Here in our scripture, we see that there were four men that brought a man. That's all we're told. Four men who were able brought one man who wasn't. And they'd heard about Jesus. And they cared enough to do something with that knowledge. They came because they'd heard that Jesus was in the house. And there was obstacles, there was obstruction, there was opposition. It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't convenient. Huh? But even though there was a lot in their way, they didn't quit until they got to where they knew they needed to get to, which was in the presence of the one and only. They rose to the occasion, literally. Come on now. Huh? They climbed onto the roof and they began to break through the roof. Imagine, people would be looking at them, pointing at them. It was a weird thing to do. It was a strange thing to do. It was out of the box. I'm sure that there were people that were pulling them down and pointing their finger and shouting things, but they didn't care because they were on a mission. They had someone that had a need, and they knew that Jesus was in the house. What an example. What an exhibition of faith. See, when you put your faith in Jesus, you don't need to let anything stand in the way. If there's a mountain in the way, you just speak to the mountain and tell it to move. Come on now. Get out of the way. I'm coming through. Because Jesus is on the other side, and I'm not letting anything stop me from getting to him. Huh? And you can, when you do that, you can expect the right things to happen. So what happened? When they'd overcome the crowds of critics and condemners and crazies and cop-outs, when they'd overcome the opposition, when they'd overcome the barriers, they placed their burden down before Jesus. They'd finished their tasks. They'd done what they could do. They'd cared enough to make a difference. The first thing that Jesus looked at was their faith. Their faith in who he is, who his nature revealed him to be. They put their trust in who he revealed himself to be, even from a distance. That's faith. That's all faith is. And then he looks, he said, son, you're forgiven. Check that out. He's just coming to Matt. He's all messed up. He's all mangled. But he's allowed himself to come, and they've brought him, and they've got before him, and he said, son, you're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Sometimes we look at people and we look at them, and if they're all mangled and messed up, we maybe don't think straight away that maybe they need to be forgiven. Maybe we think that they need a plaster, or they need some money, or they need a helping hand, and all of that stuff. They gave stuff to him before that, but the key was that he was forgiven. Then the critics and the crazies got up again and started to condemn him. What do you mean? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Who does he think he is? But he knew that the forgiveness was the key. The greatest miracle of all is when you go from being dead to being alive, from when you're lost to found, from when you're a sinner to a saint. That's the greatest miracle, the exchange of life from a dead sinner to a living saint, born again in Christ Jesus. A new creation, everything new, everything fresh, new start, new blank slate, starting to live the way that your book in heaven describes. And then, to prove his power, he healed the man. What's easier to say? Be forgiven? What's harder to say? Be forgiven? Or rise up? But to show you that the Son of Man has power and authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Woo! Heavy. The forgiveness came. Then came the breakthrough. And look what he did. He told him to pick up the thing that was his problem, the symbol of his problem. What does that mean? Huh? It means that after you're truly forgiven, and Jesus then gives you the power over the thing that was binding you, when you get up and you can overcome that, it shows that real forgiveness gives you complete power over the things that had you in their power. Why do you think I talk a lot about drugs? It's because I was a drug addict and everyone said that I would never ever change. It's on my medical forms. It's on the police statements. It's on everything. Even in me parents' art. Are you with me? And it was in my art. But how many of you know, now I talk about drugs as someone that is not a drug addict. I tell you now, drugs don't have any power over me, and I'm not being proud for, and I'm not putting myself in a position of madness. You know, I'm just saying that in Jesus Christ, he forgave me of my sin, and then he set me free, and he's given me the power over that. And the fruit of it is seeing not only my life transformed, but then I have the authority to speak into other people's lives and see them transformed. And it's an ongoing thing. And it's the same thing with you. Drugs might not have been your thing. It might not have been your coup. It might have been abuse. It might have been broken relationships. It might have been low self-esteem or depression, or it might have been mental illness in different ways, shapes or forms, or inherited diseases. Listen to me. It doesn't matter, because when you know that you've been forgiven, Jesus then gives you the power to overcome that thing, and he gives you authority then to be able to release that power everywhere that you go. You become a difference maker. We don't know what the four men's thing was, but we know that they had the faith to bring the man, they had the ability to bring the man that didn't have the ability to Jesus Christ. And Jesus was in the house. Everyone was there. But when Jesus is in the house, it ain't just for us to feel good. He ain't just so that we can say, oh yeah, I went to a revival, and then come back and live the same. He ain't so that we can come in and say, oh, that church, man, the worship's amazing, and then go back and live in sin. It's about when you come into the presence of God, you come into the place where Jesus is, and then your life is in, it's unable to stay the same. Everything gets reversed. The curse gets reversed. You can't be the same no more. You can't think the same no more. When you've been in the presence of Jesus, man, your life changes. Everything's going to be different. And you look at it and you go, wow, look, everything needs to change. Yeah, but it's a journey, it's a process. He'll take you there. If he got you there, he'll take you there. If he starts it, he'll be faithful to finish it. If he begins it in your life, he'll be faithful to complete it. He'll journey with you. He'll pick you up when you fall down. He'll be the same even when you change. He'll be faithful when you're unfaithful. He'll always be there. When Jesus is in the house, everything changes. And then you become a difference maker. Close your eyes. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we really need the presence of Jesus amongst us. Tangibly, in reality, we don't know your timescale for coming and moving in this city, but we pray that it would happen now. We always want it to happen now. Lord, come and move amongst us. Where there is sin, God, release forgiveness. And then empower people to go and sin no more. Where there is sickness, release healing. Where there is addiction, release freedom. Where there is brokenness, release that newness of life that brings the broken things back together. In a new way, in a new shape, in a new form. Holy Spirit, make Jesus real to everyone in this place. Let healing flow. Let lives be made new. Let people understand that if you're able, then Jesus wants you to reach out to someone who is not and introduce them to him. And Lord, when we do that, when we tell people that Jesus is in the house, when we witness to people and tell them, come and meet a man, told me everything about me and loved me. Come and meet the man. I don't know what happened. But once I was blind, this man Jesus touched me and now I can see. Once I was an addict, I wasn't looking for religion. I was looking for relief. But this Jesus they told me about, he came into my heart and he set me free. I can't tell you everything about all of the technology and the terminology and the theology right now, but I'm hungry to learn. But what I can say is Jesus was there and he touched me. And now my life is never going to be the same again. Come and stand to your feet. I want to make an altar call for people who want to become difference makers. You want to be someone who makes a difference. You want to be someone that spends their life for a cause that's bigger than their own self. Someone that enables, helps, encourages the lost, the least, and the last, the broken, the lame, the blind, the sick, the weary, to come to know Jesus Christ. That's what I want this church to be, man. It's not just a hospital for the sick, because hospitals don't just contain the sick. They also contain the people that help the sick. And you're going to be one or the other if you're in Victory Outreach Manchester. You either come sick, or you come as someone that helps the sick. Either way, a difference is going to be made. Our lives are never going to be the same again. I want to make an altar call. I want you to come out if you want to be a difference maker. Or if you want a difference made within your life, you come out right now. Just come out, man. Some people never come out, but maybe this is the first time you've ever come out. And just come and stand in the presence of God and just pray and worship. Just speak to the living God and just say, Lord, I want my life to make a difference. Speak to me. Empower me. Teach me. Lead me. Guide me. Fill me, Holy Spirit. And you never know, you might have come out sick and God heals you. You might have come out in sin, and you know you've been in sin. Come out and get forgiveness, and then watch what that releases in and through your life. Hallelujah. Come on. Lift up your hands and just let the Lord begin to minister to you right now. All over this place. There's loads of people. Look, hundreds of people here. This altar. Exceedingly. Don't just pray for revival. Be revival. It ain't going to begin in a church. It's going to begin in you.
Do it through me exceedingly. Miracle signs and wonders. Do it in me.
Come on, tell the Lord, do it through me. Exceedingly and abundantly above everything that we can even think or imagine. The power of the living God. He's looking for difference makers. He's looking for sons and daughters that will carry His presence, that will witness to who He is in this world, that will shine a light in darkness.
Lord, I am available to it be. To
Father, in this place, there are people that are prayer warriors that are rising up. People that are administrators that are going to help to manage the strategies and the plans. There are children's ministers, children's pastors that are going to pastor a new generation. Youth ministers. Lord, there are teachers, there are trainers, there are helpers. There are people that are involved in welcome and hospitality. There are ushers that rise up and that's their thing. There are home directors in this house. There are pastors and pastors' wives. There are, Lord, evangelists that want to go out and reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ. There are people with a prophetic gift. Lord God, there are entrepreneurs that are here in this place. Authors and musicians and singers and worshipers. Modern day Levites. People that are involved in technical stuff, in media and in promotion. There are people that can finance your vision, oh God, through their businesses and through their business acumen, oh God. Lord, there are people that never thought they would amount to anything, but God, you're going to exceed their dreams. God's about to exceed some dreams in this place. There are warriors in this place. There are missionaries in the house. There are family members. There are counselors. There are guides. There are footprint makers and trailblazers and pioneers. There are builders and there are equippers. And there is no one in this place that has no value in Jesus Christ. There is no one in this place that has no place in the plan of God. There is no one in here under the sound of my voice that cannot make a difference, because if Christ is for us, then who can be against us? And He can do all the things that we can't, and we are strong in Him and we are able in Him. Hallelujah. Come on, just speak to Him right now while the worship team sing. They're going to sing. Come on, speak to Him right where you're at.
Me home, expectantly, more than I can ask, more than I can think.
Come on, let this breathe through you. You're going to do impossible things. You're going to be a record breaker. This is a record breaking church. We're going to break records of attendance and expectancy, transformation. We're going to put a new definition to what is possible and what is impossible.
You give me peace, perfect peace, perfect peace.
Come on, pray, 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 pray.
You've given me more than I.
Tell Jesus you want Him. Welcome Him. Worship Him.
Making me impossible, possible in me. More than I can think.
is revealed in me.
It's your spirit.
Spirit, breathe in this place. Breathe in this place, Holy Ghost. Let the wind blow. Blow the cobwebs away. Blow the tiredness away. Blow the doubt away. Blow the fear away. Oh, release your love in abundance. Release your power, oh God. Your word has been declared. Confirm it, we pray, with miracles, signs and wonders amongst us. Heal the sick. I tell the Lord, pray right now. Just we're going to close. Bible says to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Some of you, you're wasting time. You're wasting time. You're waiting for the perfect time to serve God. Let me tell you when the perfect time to serve God is. Today. Some of you are waiting for the perfect time to get saved. Let me tell you when the perfect time is. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. The perfect time to step into your anointing and your calling is right now, today. It's not when you're married. It's not when you're rich. It's not when you got a house. It's not when you got a home. It's not when you're feeling better or you're not as bad off as you are. It's right now. And then you step in and you say, God, here I am. Use me. And then what you find is that as you're seeking God and His righteousness, He adds all the things you need. He'll bring everything you need to facilitate your working for Him. He'll do it all. You just have to come and be available. Do it in me. Do it through me exceedingly. Lord, I am available. That's all you need. You're waiting until you're able. No, you're not able. That man on the mat weren't able. The man around him weren't able. Jesus is able. He just wants us to be available. They were available to bring their friend. Their friend was available to be brought. Jesus was right there, available to do what only God can do. Miracles, signs, and wonders. To forgive and to heal, to save, to redeem, and to release. Right now,
do
Jesus.
Do it through me exceedingly.
Begin it now.
Lord, I am.
Lord, I am available.
Do it in me.
Miracles,
miracles.
Come on, one more
do
time, sing. Say this prayer and we're going to close. Say this prayer with me and we're going to close. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you. I want everything about you. I welcome you into my entire life. I worship you as my Lord and my Savior. And I want to be a difference maker.
Use my life. Empower me. Equip me. And I will serve you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer and activating me right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now God bless you and go and make a difference. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't forget, let's support our God's Anointed Now generation. Monique is right there for the manicure, pedicure. Only five pounds. Also, all the sales, all the food. Nice food that we're selling. Everything will go and support our young people who will go to youth convention. God bless you.
Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.